Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
And please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we bless you, we praise you. Lord, we exalt you, we magnify you, God. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you have your cell phones, if you could put them in the silent and off position, amen. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus and the Feast of Passover. I need you to look at that photo up there. See, back during the times of Exodus, Pastor R has been teaching us in Exodus, they would put the blood on the what? The doorpost and the lintel, right? So that the death angel would pass over. This is why it's called Passover. But at the same time, on the Temple Mount, at 9 o'clock in the morning, they were preparing the lamb for the Passover feast. At the same time, they were nailing Yeshua to the cross at 9 a.m. On that Passover day. And so how ironic that is, amen? And so we're going to look at this, because Jesus is in all seven feasts. And the first one starts today, which is the Passover. And so, are you there at 1 Corinthians? Amen. Okay, let's go to the Word. And it reads, therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, look at this, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast. Notice, didn't say let it go. Didn't ignore it. No, we are to acknowledge the feast. Not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and in truth. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise God. And so, saints, Passover has been the principal feast of the Jewish people for over 3,400 years since the Jewish people left Egypt. Passover is a foreglimpse of the redemption of mankind for those who will accept redemption through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so look at this on your screen. Today through Tuesday, Sunday, April 13th through the 15th. Today's the 13th, right? So today is Passover. April 13th through the 15th, 2025, all around the world, the Passover feast is celebrated around the world. On the biblical calendar, it is Nisan 15 through the 17, 5785. It's when Jesus was crucified, died, and was buried in his tomb. But even more profound is this Tuesday. I hope you guys could remember to text everybody this coming Tuesday. Just text everyone and say on your text, he is risen. He is risen. That's all you have to say. He is risen. And it'll be this Tuesday, April 15th, on Nisan 17. Nisan 17, we're going to look at this in a little down the message here on the divine appointments that take place on Nisan 17. Amen? But Jesus rose again there. Now, let's go to the Word of God, and let's see how this all unfolds. Amen? Because this is going to unfold right before us. And so here we go. In John 19:14. Now, it was the preparation day of the Passover, and about the sixth hour. And he said to Jesus, he said to the Jews, behold your king. This is when they had already apprehended him. This is when they went to the false court. It wasn't a true court. Why? Because they apprehended him at night. So it was an illegal court. But they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chiefs answered, "You have no king but Caesar." Then he delivered him to be crucified. So they took Jesus and led him away. But look at verse 14, the top scripture. It was the preparation day for the Passover. So we're going to see he was crucified on Passover. Look at John 19:17. "And he, bearing his cross, went out to a place called the place of the skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him and two others with him on either side and Jesus in the center." So there was two thieves, one on the left, one on the right, and then the innocent one was right in the middle. Now, we all know the story. One was filled with pride. The other one was filled with humility. So let's go to verse 31, and it reads, "Therefore, because it was the preparation day, that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for the Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away." Look at verse 32. "Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was already dead, they did not break his legs. But one of the soldiers pierced the side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out." What did Jesus tell John when Nicodemus snuck out at night? "Unless you're born of the what?
Water and the spirit.
And the blood." The blood and the water, huh? There it is right there. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Now look at this in verse 40. "Then they took the body of Jesus. They bound it in the strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had been laid. So there they laid Jesus because of the Jews, the preparation date, for the tomb was nearby." So every time you see the preparation day, that was the Passover day. Now, I need you to look at this for a moment. I need you to see this. These are the biblical holidays that we always mention here. Now, I need you to look at the spring feast. It's called the first advent. In other words, his first coming. Jesus, when he first came on the scene. Okay? So what happened on the first festival was Passover. It was Jesus' death. Then they put him in the tomb. Then the next day, they're celebrating unleavened bread. They celebrate that for 7 days. Okay? He was buried in the tomb. Crucified, went into the tomb. Now they're celebrating unleavened bread. Now, who could tell me what unleavened reference is? A type of no sin. Okay, leaven in the Bible, in the Old Testament, is considered sin because it rises and spreads. Unleavened, there's no yeast in it. So that's why you get a saltine cracker. It's not fluffy, right? Because there's no leaven in it. And so Jesus was buried in the tomb with no sin. Can I get amen?
Amen.
That's why he's the unleavened bread. On the third day, he rises on their third festival called the first fruits. Resurrect. This is why Tuesday. Are we going to get everyone to text? He is risen. He is risen. We have to be excited about that. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Now, 50 days go by, and we get now to Pentecost. So 50 days later, after he rises from the dead, the Holy Ghost is poured out in the upper room. Woo! Man, that's where 120 of them got filled with the Holy Ghost. Including who else?
Mary.
Who else was there?
Mary.
Who's Mary?
Jesus' mom.
She needed the Holy Ghost too. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Everybody who comes into this world needs the Holy Ghost. Jesus was God Almighty in the flesh. He didn't need the Holy Ghost. He was God Almighty. Why? Because a male did not plant the seed in Mary. The Holy Ghost did. Woo! Thank you. That's why he's holy. Jesus. Now, the next greatest event that mankind is going to see, and we're hoping it's this Feast of Trumpets. We don't know which year, but we know on the Feast of Trumpets right there is going to be the rapture of the church.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We that are alive and remain shall be caught up. See, Jesus is just going to come down to the clouds. And the dead will rise up first. Then we that are alive and remain will be caught up with them. And we will be changed. And we will be like him. How many want to be like Jesus?
Yes.
Or you want to stay in this old body that's wearing and tearing? Sometimes you can't even get it out of bed. Sometimes you can't even feel your feet.
Like this morning.
Yeah. Come on. I was talking to someone last night, you know, because we were talking to a lot of folks. And we were talking about, you know, when we're looking at the youngsters running around. You know, I go, don't you remember when you was 20? Man, we was on top of the world. Yeah. I'm talking to you. Or with you or somebody. Yeah, I go, man, look at all that energy.
Yeah.
And then just to get up from the seat. You got to hold that chair. Can I get an amen? We're not spring chickens anymore. Some of you are still. Enjoy your 30s. Enjoy your 30s. And part of your 40s. Until you hit that 50. When you hit that 50, things start kicking in now. This is why we need Jesus. This is why we need God. Can I get an amen? So check this out. Trumpets is going to be the rapture. The next greatest event. Then the next feast is Yom Kippur. That's when God's going to come and judge during the tribulation. Oh man, let me tell you. He's going to come and he's going to wipe out his enemies. The last feast is Tabernacles. It's going to start the 1,000-year millennial reign.
Wow.
1,000 years is called the Golden Age.
Hallelujah.
And guess what? We're going to rule and reign with him.
Amen.
How many of you want a world that has no sin in it, has no immorality in it, no violence, no murder,
no hate?
No hate. The Lamb will lay next to the wolf.
That's right.
Hallelujah. Yes. The baby next to the snake, and they will not get bitten. For 1,000 years. So Tabernacles is this. God tabernacling with man.
Amen.
Living with us. Woo! Thank you, God. It's all in the feast of the Lord. So today, we're focusing on Passover. The crucifixion. Amen. And so, as I was watching last night, I came across this. Charlton Heston, right? God spoke to Moses regarding the Passover. He spoke to him and told him exactly what they needed to do. Amen. And then he said, let my people go. I think that's when the Red Sea parted. But you know what? We have to look back to look ahead.
Right.
So we gotta tiptoe back to the Old Testament and see how this came about so that we can realize in the day and time that we live in how it all pertains, how it all correlates, how it all meshes together. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
The Old Testament and the New Testament is like a glove. It fits perfectly.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Right.
So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Exodus 12. Exodus 12. We were just there a few weeks ago, brother. Here we go. Exodus 12:3. And it reads, speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Notice that was what they were going to what?
Sacrifice.
A lamb. And who is Jesus called?
The Lamb of God.
The Lamb of God. Amen.
Of God.
Hallelujah. Look at verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish. Uh-oh. A male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts on the lintel in the houses where they eat it. Praise God. Praise God. Verse 8. Then they shall what? Eat the flesh on that night, roast it in fire, with unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Do not eat it raw, nor boiled at all with water, but roast it in fire, its head with its legs and its entrails. You shall let none of it remain until morning. And what remains of it until morning? You shall what? Burn it with fire. Destroy it, meaning. Look at verse 11. And thus you shall eat it with belt on your waist, sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. So you shall eat it in haste. In other words, you need to eat this thing and go.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like eating and running. And your staff in your hand, you shall eat it in haste. Why? It is the Lord's Passover. For I'll pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, against all the gods. Notice little g? All the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Hallelujah. How many believe that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. How many believe that Yahweh?
Right.
Hallelujah. Is the Lord. Look at verse 13. And now the blood shall be a sign. Uh-oh. A sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you. And when I strike the land of Egypt. Something about the blood, huh? There's something about the blood. Now, I want us to go to Leviticus. Because we're going to see some Hebraic pronunciations. Meaning words that we would normally read in English, and sometimes they just go over our head. Like, what's the first thing? If you read in the Word of God and it said feast, some of you are already thinking hometown buffet. Huh? Or you can eat carnitas somewhere.
What?
Oh, come on. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or this one place they told me to go. We ate there, some birria. Woo! No, but I was eating all that I could. Hallelujah. Let's go to Leviticus 20. Look at that, 23:2. Look at this. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, concerning the what? The feast of the Lord. Once again. This is not an all-Chinese buffet. The feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be a holy convocation. Even these are my feasts. So, if you're reading this in the King James or whatever version, NIV, you know, whatever translation you're reading, unless you see the Hebraic root to those two words that I underline, feast and convocation, it'll just go over your head. But if you look into the Hebrew, let's look at this. The Hebrew word for feast is also called moed, meaning appointed times. So the feasts are appointed times. And the Hebrew word for convocation is mikra, meaning a dress rehearsal. So remember the chart I showed you? all the festivals. Every year, the Jews have a dress rehearsal, meaning they do Passover, they do unleavened bread, they do first fruits, then they do Pentecost, then they do trumpets, then they do Yom Kippur, then they do what? Tabernacles. Every year, it's clockwork. But it's called a dress rehearsal. Why? Because God's going to fulfill them. You see, they're doing it out of a religious connotation. We're viewing this as Jesus is going to fulfill them. Like he did the first four. He's going to fulfill the last three. Thank you, God. And so the Passover lamb was to be a male without defect. All the people must slaughter the Passover lamb. There is deliverance for those who are covered by the blood of the Passover lamb. Nothing of the Passover lamb was to be left until the morning. The Passover lamb was to have no broken bones. The same regulations apply to the Gentiles and to the Jewish people. Can I get amen? Amen. So we're going to look now of the parallels of Passover and Jesus the Lord, our Savior. Praise God. Praise God. So look at this. Number one, as Israel was in bondage to Egypt, so man is slave to sin. You see, they were in bondage, right? Well, guess what? We're in bondage to our sin. So just like they needed freedom to be, because the taskmasters were whooping them for 400 years, well, sin was destroying us and sending us to hell. So we needed a lamb too. Hallelujah. But the lamb we got was the Lamb of God.
Yes.
Hallelujah. That would take away the sins of the earth.
Jesus.
So look at this. For 430 years, the Hebrew people, they served and were slaves to the Egyptians. And they had no choice. Every day they made bricks, built pyramids, served their masters. If they disobeyed, they were beaten. If they rebelled, they were killed in horrific ways. Why? Because their life was just in slavery. That was it. So let's look at second point. Each of us was born into this world as a slave to sin. You see, the Israelites were a slave to the Egyptians. But we are a slave to sin. I got scripture to back that up. Look at this in Romans 5:18. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation. Even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. This was Adam. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Whoo! That was Jesus. Can I get amen? Look at this. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. You know what that means? It didn't matter where you were. It didn't matter how you was. It didn't matter the predicament you were in. God still came down and saved you.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hey.
Hallelujah. We were lost without a cause. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But we're grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, man. I'm telling you. We were all engulfed by sin. Headed to hell in the handbasket. And Jesus came. Hallelujah. He came and rescued us. This is why you have to fall in love with Him. Fall in love with the Savior. Look at this. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Look at, oh man, look what I found in Romans 3:23. For all. Turn to your neighbor and say, for all.
For all.
For all. That's right. For all.
For all
have fallen short of the glory of God. Look at this. Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is who? Christ Jesus. Whom God set forth as a propitiation. What does that word propitiation mean? It means a substitute. God had to do a substitute, look, by his blood. So his blood had to come and wash us and cleanse us. Because we couldn't do it ourselves. And it's through faith. To demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his forbearance, his foreknowledge, he knew that we would need a Savior. Hallelujah. When we came into this world. His forbearance, God passed over the sins that were previously committed. I need you to catch this. I need you to catch this. Go back to your BC years before you were saved.
Oh, no.
Just go back. I remember the day I got saved. You guys know my testimony. I had crystal meth, everything. I was living a lewd life. But if you read this scripture right here, because in his forbearance, God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. So in other words, no matter what you were involved in, he stepped over your sins to save you. Oh, come on. You got to get a revelation of that. In other words, he didn't hold you to your sin. He stepped over them and washed them in the blood. Hallelujah. That were committed previously. Hallelujah. Before we even knew about the cross, he saved us in his mind already.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, God. Come on, you got to be excited about what he did. Woo! He knew we were filthy and rotten, but he still, hallelujah, saved us. He still saved a wretch like us. Jesus. Jesus. So, I have a question here. Look at this. Why can't we simply stop sinning? How many of you on January 1st, you have your New Year's what?
Resolution?
To get on a diet? Only to fall off the next day. Have you ever started an exercise program and abandoned it? My precious wife tells me, "Hey, honey, how come that bike back there got dust on it?" I don't know. Maybe you ought to just clean it up. I'm always coming back another way. You gotta watch out when you get trapped. But more importantly, saints of God, have you ever tried to clean up your life and miserably failed?
Every time.
Especially even after you get saved. So we can't stop sinning because by nature, we're slaves to sin. By nature. So in other words, there's a war going on. Paul said it best. When he got saved, he says, "I now know that there's a war in my members. Because the Spirit of God wants to do right, and my flesh wants to do opposite." So there's a battle now, huh? So it's like this. If you got two pit bulls at home, you know, Paco and Chico, and you feed Paco fresh beef and lamb and chicken, and then Chico, you only feed him the dried food from the shelf. Who's going to be the stronger dog?
There's going to be a war there.
Who's going to be the stronger dog? So if you feed the flesh, that'll be stronger than the spirit in you. But if you feed the spirit, hallelujah, hallelujah, you fast every now and then. You get before God, hallelujah. You put down that fork every now and then and say, "Oh God, nuh-uh, I need to be with you, God. Hallelujah, I need to seek you." There's some things in my life. I need you, God. That's when you'll know you will learn to overcome the flesh. Because Paul says, I crucify this flesh daily. Why? Because this flesh is no good. Our flesh is no good. Man, the things that we could think in our mind. You know what I'm so thankful for? Just imagine, everything that we think of, if we were to put it on the screen, I'd be the first one to run out of here. Huh? Man, we could think of some vile and vicious things. And don't even have to say anything, because it's already in us. This is why we need the Holy Ghost. Because there's a war. Amen? There's a war. We need to be sanctified, Holy Ghost filled. Look at this. Look at this right up here. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, say that with me. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to what? Holiness. And the end, everlasting life. Whoo, man, that right there, if I could jump up and kick my heels, I would. So now I could only do them in my mind. Hallelujah. I could do a backflip in my mind when I read these. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Look at verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus the Lord. Listen, when you know that God went through these great lengths, starting on Passover, to die for us, and to know where we're headed now, it should bring great joy. You should want to learn to live for Him. You should want God to sanctify your heart and your mind and to be set apart for Him. Amen? And put the childish things away now. Thank you, God. So look at number 4. Just as the Hebrew people could not just leave Egypt, we cannot simply just leave our sin. See, the Hebrews needed God to deliver them. We need God to deliver us from our sin. As the firstborn of Egypt died, so death comes to all men. Look at this in 2 Corinthians. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver us, in whom, look at this, we trust that He will still deliver us. How many believe that He's the God that will deliver us all the way to the end? Come on, you got to believe God. That's right. Even when you curse out someone that just took your parking, He's still going to deliver you. Oh, come on. Come on. I'm just being real here. We still go through those, what, mental exercises, don't we? Jesus, help us. Jesus, help us. Look at this. Look at this. God promised that the firstborn in Egypt would die. Did you catch that? God promised that the firstborn in Egypt would die. Jesus. So as surely as a firstborn died in Egypt, death comes to all now. The Bible plainly says what is obvious to everyone. Look at in Hebrews. As it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time, apart from sin, from salvation. Here is the key, saints. We talked about it this morning when we started praying. And I want to thank and praise God, those who pressed out at 9 this morning. We are praying in the Holy Ghost. And one of the things that came up was we need to have that tenacity in our spirit to truly look for His appearing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Every day, God, are You coming for me today? Lord, allow my heart to be ready, oh God.
Yes.
See, we can get caught up with the things of the world that are temporary, that don't even matter. We can get mad. We can get frustrated. We can go through all kinds of gymnastics in our mind. But are you looking on Him that's going to come to take us home, to deliver us? You know, when I wake up, I say, God, is this the day? I'm ready, God. I'm ready, God. I may not walk as fast as I used to, but my mind is steadfast on Thee.
Amen.
Can I get amen?
Amen?
Have your mind steadfast on Him. Because look at this, to those who eagerly wait for Him, He will appear a second time. He's going to appear to those that are looking for Him.
Yes.
If you're not looking for Him, you may not even see Him. Appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. Praise God. Praise God. And so, saints, note that the word appointed is very similar to appointment. Appointment. Appointed. So, in other words, should the Lord tarry? Should the Lord tarry? You know what tarry means? Should He delay His coming for about another 3, 4, 5 years? Maybe 10. We don't know. I'm hoping He's coming anytime. But here's the thing. Every one of us, should He delay His time, we all have an appointment with physical death. Every one of us. We're not immune from it. How many celebration of lives have you been to in the last 2, 3 years? Many. And we were there to say goodbye, to pray for the family that's still here. Because the Bible's clear, it is appointed for men to die once. But this, after this, is the judgment. For those who die without Christ, it'll be judgment day. But for us, we're not going to be standing in front of the white throne judgment. Hallelujah, where the unbelievers will be tossed into the lake of fire. No, we'll be standing at the judgment seat of Christ. And He's going to issue out all the things we've done as believers. Some good, some bad. And then He's going to weigh it out and then bless us. You know what I want to hear from Him? I don't care if all He gives me is a Schwinn 10-speed. I just want to hear Him say this. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. How many want to hear that?
Amen.
Come on. Jesus. Thank you, God. And so, my friends, some 1,500 years later, a prophet named John the Baptist was preaching about the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. It was Jesus' primo. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And he was baptizing people and asking them to repent, for the kingdom of God was at hand. But one day, he looked up from the river. He saw a man coming toward him and knew exactly who he was. Right here, it's right here in Scripture. Look at this. In John 1:29, the next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away what?
The sins
of the world." You see, notice, he was parallel to a lamb, like in the book of Exodus. Well, he came as a lamb without any blemish as well. There was nothing tainted on him.
No sin.
No sin. Just imagine. Just imagine our mind that's very sinful. We could think of good things, pleasant things, and then we could think of some things that you don't even want to talk about. Horrible things. Those horrible things weren't in his mind.
Thank you, Jesus.
Because he had no sin. He had nothing but the thoughts of heaven. Pure.
Praise God.
Precious.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Holy. There was no sin in him. The works of the flesh wasn't in him. Just the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, kindness, gentleness, meekness. All that was operating in him. There wasn't adultery in him, fornication, adultery and all that, murder, lewdness. It was far from him. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Look at this. As the blood of the Lamb saved the Hebrews, so the blood of Jesus Christ saves us. It saves us. Look at 1 John 1:5. Look at this. This is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood, say that with me, the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Not some, but all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So this is what the next verse I'm going to show you. What I love about God, he makes a way of escape for us. Okay, he knows he saved sinful men and women. We're sinful by nature. He knows that. And he knows we're not going to be perfect until he comes and changes us once and for all. But he made a way out for us that when we do sin, when we do miss the mark, it's right up here. Look at this in verse 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to what? To forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. See, he made a way out. If we say that we have not sinned, then we make him a liar and the word is not in us. So here's the key. When you fall short and you sin, you humble yourself. Go ask someone that you offended. If you possibly offended someone, ask for their forgiveness. Then go to God and say, God, forgive me for offending my brother, my sister. See, when you start walking in that cleansing aspect of our life, your life will become so enriched by him. And guess what? He'll learn to trust you with greater things.
Amen.
You want to go further in the kingdom? Then learn his ways.
Yes.
Learn to love the things he loves. And learn to love one another. Oh, I know there's some people that get to your last nerve. Man, it's like, I didn't know what to do. I'm not going to mention a name, but there was a sister. Said, how come you didn't say hi to me? I said hi to you 3 times. How many more times do I have to say hi to you? It was mad and wanted to fight. Sister Catherine said, Pastor Fee, just walk away. Pastor Fee, just walk away. I walked away. I just walked away, man. I just walked away. Because I said, I said hi 3 times. How many more do I have to say hi? But see, that's our nature, isn't it? Huh? Our nature's like that. Sometimes our nature just wants to pick a fight with someone for no reason. I'm just going to pick a fight with that one right there. Lord, have mercy. I'm not even looking at you. I tell you, man, sometimes up in here gets real ugly. Ugly. So saints in the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned, God had to kill an animal to cover the nakedness. Something had to die and shed blood for the sin that was committed against God. Something had to die. Praise God. So look at this. I found it right up here in Genesis. For Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord said, behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil. Now lest he put out his hand and take out also of the tree of life and eat and what? Live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which was taken. And he drove him out of the of man. See, Adam and Eve had the most beautiful life, the perfect life. Well, guess what? God's going to do that again in the millennial reign. Huh? He's going to make this place so beautiful. For 1,000 years, we're going to reign in peace with him. Enjoy, and we're going to have the new body. I believe I asked Pastor Art one day, you ever had a dream when you were flying? You go, man, I just had a dream. Remember you said not too long ago. Listen, if you've had dreams of just walking and then you could just fly when you want it and fly around and then land, I said, now this is Pastor Fee 101. This is not scripture. But I believe that's a prophetic dream. Because when we get the new body, we're not going to be, what do you call it? Gravity will not be, obtain us. We won't be confined, there you go, to gravity. We're going to have that new body. Why? How do I know that? Because Jesus, after he rose again, he says, I got to go be with my Father. So they were all right there with him. And then he just started, like an air balloon, just started lifting. And they were doing this. What? And then he was gone. He flew away. He flew away. And remember the angel says, what are you gazing at? He's going to come back the same way. So the Bible says we're going to be just like him. That lets us know we're going to have a body that's going to be so supernatural. It's not going to be sinful at all. It's going to live forever. It'll never be diseased. It'll never die. And gravity will not confine us to this earth. We'll just get up and go. See, these are things that I know it's hard to comprehend, but these are promises from God. Man, I'm telling you, I can't wait. How many can't wait? Look at this in Hebrews. We're coming in for a close. Are you getting something out of this teaching?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Look at Hebrews 9:22. According to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no what? Remission of sin. Without the shedding of Jesus' blood, our sins would still remain. And so this is why they needed the blood in the Old Testament. Like here in Leviticus, look at this. For the life of the flesh is in the blood. And I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. So God used blood then, and he used it today. Can I get amen?
Amen.
Praise God. God needed to emplace a permanent sacrifice once and for all. And this is it right here. For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sins. Therefore, he came into the world. Who came into this world?
Jesus.
He came into the world. He says, sacrifice and offering you do not desire, but a body you have prepared for who? For me. Look at this. And burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you had no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come in the volume of the book. Meaning from Genesis to Revelation, it's all about Jesus.
Amen.
He came in the whole volume of the book. Why? Because it is written of me to do your will, O God. Previously saying, sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them, which are what? Offered according to the law. Look at verse 9. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will, O God. He takes away the first that he may establish the second. By that we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once and for all. So what God had to do, he had to remove Adam's curse. And Jesus came to save you and me.
Yes.
Once and for all. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Amen. I got one clapping back there. Amen. Amen. There's one back there that's clapping. Or were you clapping because you saw all them sandwiches coming out? I'm just playing with you, sister. I'm just playing with you. Hey, I can kid up here a little bit, right? look at 1 Peter 1:18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold or from your aimless conduct received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood. Say that with me. But with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Praise God. Thank you, God. And so as the Hebrews were saved by applying the lamb's blood, we are saved by applying Yeshua's blood, Jesus' blood. Hallelujah. You see, by faith, Moses kept the Passover feast as mentioned. Like right up here in Hebrews says, by faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn would touch them. And by faith, we have received Jesus Christ. Why? Because by grace, you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. And we come into our last scriptures, and then we'll close. Look at this in Luke 24. Then he said to them, these are the words which I spoke to you while I was with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. So he's telling the religious folks, don't disregard all the teachings of the Old Testament. Look at this. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, which will be this Tuesday, and that repentance and remissions of sins, remission means forgiveness of sins, should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Look at this. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Praise God. Praise God. Now, why do I say Tuesday is so unique? Nisan 17. That's an appointed day on the Hebrew calendar. And guess what other things happen on Nisan 17? Not only his crucifixion is right up here. Look at this. Noah's Ark safely rested on Mount Arafat on Nisan 17. Hebrews entered into Egypt 430 years before deliverance on Nisan 17. Day of first fruits, Israel entered and ate the first fruits of the promised land. The walls of Jericho fell on Nisan 17. The cleansing of the temple by Hezekiah 800 years after entering the promised land on Nisan 17. Queen Esther saved Hebrews from the elimination on Nisan 17. And the resurrection of the Messiah.
Yes.
This Tuesday will be Nisan 17. Man, I'm telling you, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. And listen, if you have logged in on Facebook and YouTube Once again, we want to greet you in Jesus' name. Maybe it's your first time logging in. Maybe you were surfing the web. You typed in amazing or you typed in grace and we popped up. And now you're listening to this message and God is speaking to you right now. If you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a great opportunity for you right now. I'm going to ask the Amazing Grace family that's here to pray with me to pray for you. That God would do the miracle in your heart like He's done in ours. And that you would know without a shadow of a doubt that your salvation is secure in Christ Jesus. If that is you, bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer by faith. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you, God, for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give God a shout. Hallelujah. Woo, is he worthy?
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.